Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 this morning. Father, I pray this morning for our second service as I prayed at the first service, Lord, that you would purify the church in America. I pray, Lord, that you'd begin here at our church. Lord, that you would purify our motives, that you would make clear to us what our priorities are. Father, that we would spend our lives serving you and being involved in that which you would have us to be involved in. Lord, thank you for your tremendous love that you have poured out upon each one of us. May we spend our lives loving you back, serving you. And now I ask, Lord, that you would teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you already know this about my family, but Kim and I do have three small children. Lindsay, she's 5 years old. Connor just turned 4. And Dylan is about to turn 3. And Dylan really has learned how to talk more effective now. So now I have 3 talkers, which makes life interesting. Kim and I field questions all day long. And we're bombarded with requests all day long. And I'll tell you, if Kim and I were to always answer yes to all of the requests that our children bring us, there'd be big trouble in the Gray household. There'd be chaos. If we always answered yes, we'd live at Babbo's or Chuck E. Cheese. If we always answered yes, we'd be watching DVDs all day long. If we always answered yes, our kids would be overweight or malnourished, always wanting candy. And so Kim and I, we have to show discretion. We can't just say yes. Being good parents, we have to filter through the good requests and the bad. And you know that is certainly true with our Heavenly Father. If you belong to Him, you're His child. You're a child of God. He's your Heavenly Father. And He uses discretion with the requests that we make. And we know that there are times when He does say no. For our benefit, right? For our best. But that's what makes our passage this morning, as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, so intriguing. I mean, it's just interesting. It's just fascinating. As we continue this morning, Jesus essentially tells us that there is a time when God will always answer yes. There is a time when God will always answer yes to our requests. It's an amazing thing to consider, but look what Jesus says in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Guys, there's no other way to interpret those two verses. I mean, no matter how you slice it, God is answering in the affirmative. He's saying yes. If you ask for something, it's given. Yes. If you seek for something, you find. Yes. If you knock for something, you knock on a door, it's opened. Yes. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And you know, it says here that this is comprehensive. This is all inclusive. Look at verse 8. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. The idea is, hey, this is for everyone. It's all inclusive. You ask for it, you get it. You seek for it, you find. You knock and it's open and it's for everyone, Jew, Gentile, mature Christian, new Christian. This is an amazing passage. God answering yes. This passage, however, does teach us how we're to come before God in requests. And you see some things. There are some constraints here I'd like to mention. Look at verse 7 again. I want you to notice the verbs. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock. Ask, seek, knock. I want to share with you a little bit about what the original language has to say about those verbs. But before I do that, I want to share with you something that I shared with the first service about Greek. I was told by a couple of people this week that they thought that pastors did a disservice to the congregation when they mentioned Greek in a Bible study. And they said that because what that does is that tells the congregation indirectly that they can't understand the Bible unless they understand Greek. Listen, I want to address that because I do it a lot. You can understand your Bible in English. It's all there. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand the Bible. And there is no way that I want to give anybody that impression that you can't understand the Bible unless you understand Greek. Listen, I'm not a Greek scholar. I know enough Greek to be dangerous, but I'm not a Greek scholar. And I've learned a little bit, and I read the books, and I look up and find things just like you could look up. So please understand that I'm not trying to do that. You got it in English. It's the Word of God. And it really, on the other hand, I think God's people need to know that the Bible was not originally written in English. The Bible, the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament was written in Greek. Understand that. You need to understand that. But you can understand it in English. But from time to time, I'll mention the Greek because you get some great insight into it. And like I said, things like you could come up with in your own personal study. Now, it's interesting. These verbs, ask, seek, knock, in the Greek, they are verbs that are constructed in a specific way. They're all in the present active imperative. No need to remember that at all. What that simply says is, these are, first of all, commands. Jesus commands us to ask for something that he's going to say yes to. Jesus commands us to seek for that which he's going to let us find. He commands us to knock for those things which he's going to open. It's a command, and being a command, it better line up with the other commands in Scripture, which it does, and which it should. Being a present tense verb, it implies continuous action, something that we're doing right now in the present and that should continue. So he's talking about continuing to ask, continuing to knock. It's not just knocking one time and that's it. No, he's talking about an action where you're knocking. You're seeking. You're asking. It's intense praying. It's persistent, consistent praying. It's that type of thing. Intense, passionate knocking, seeking, asking. Asking like a beggar would ask for food. Asking like a traveler who's lost, looking for directions. That happened to me in Dallas, I got to tell you. All my plans got changed, and I found myself in this weird situation where I had to take a rental car from Oklahoma City to Dallas Love Field to get another rental car for the rest of the week. Don't ask me, it's complex. But I ended up having to find my way to Dallas Love Field in the middle of the night. And it was closed, so I had to go back. Got up first thing in the morning about 5, trying to find my way to Dallas Love Field, and I ended up at DFW, the other airport. I was so lost, guys. I went to a Circle K clerk, and I just poured my heart out to that woman. I said, get out a map for me, please, and tell me how to get to this spot. I was desperate. Get me there. It's that type of asking. It's that type of knocking. It's that type of seeking. desperately looking unto God. You know, there are many of us that don't get yes answers from God for the simple reason that we don't ask. And some of us just need to get out of our pride trip. Get on our knees and ask God for things. Book of James says, you have not because you do not ask. Let us ask, and let us ask consistently. I love what Spurgeon said about prayer. He said, prayer pulls the rope below and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some stir the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give an occasional pluck at the rope, but he who wins with heaven is the man who grasps that rope boldly and pulls continuously with all of his might. Ring, ring, ring. That's prayer. That's the type of seeking, knocking, asking that we're dealing with here this morning. I also see progression. You ask, then you seek, then you knock. And I think that speaks of our cooperation with God. You ask for something through prayer, and then you seek out avenues, opportunities, which He brings to light. And then as you have doors that come before you, you knock on them. And the way I read this, if you're praying like that, yes. 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 It's the answer. God answers in the affirmative. We also know, and I think it's implied here, that when you pray as a Christian, you're supposed to pray in faith. Right? Believing it. Man, so it's asking and it's seeking and it's knocking. Believing God that He can do it. He commands us to ask. He commands us to seek. He commands us to knock. So we have faith in Him. As we ask, as we seek, as we knock. And that's absolutely true. You see it throughout Scripture. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, let him who asks, ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Matthew 21 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Guys, prayer is not wishing upon a shooting star. Throwing a coin in the fountain. Listen, when we pray, we're praying to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Exercise faith and trust in Him. Believe that He can do it. Now, there are those that have taken this idea and they've twisted it, they've perverted it. There are some that teach, really, not faith in God, but faith in faith. You know, have faith in God for your Rolls Royce, your mansion, your ship coming in. You're always going to have faith for that, and you're always going to have health if you have faith. And they claim it, that name it, claim it thing. Listen, people can get twisted and stuff like that, but let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Christian, when you pray in faith. You ask God to do great things. You ask knowing that He can, and expecting Him to. I love the story. I may have told you about it before, where there was a church. He was meeting in a part of the world that was experiencing a great drought. I mean, no rain. And it got emergency situation. The pastor told his church one Sunday morning, we need rain. I want the whole church back here this afternoon. We're going to meet out in the front lawn of the church. We're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to pray for rain. Everybody shows up. They're going to pray for rain. Pastor gets up there after they've all assembled and he says, you guys don't believe God can do this, do you? And he was upset, and the people go, what do you mean? We're here ready to pray. He said, hey, we're praying for rain. Where's your umbrellas? Where's your raincoats? Is it going to downpour or what? Where's your faith in God? Do you believe Him? Very, very important. You pray by faith, consistent, persistent, passionate, intense, asking, seeking, knocking, obeying the commandment. You ask, you'll be given. You seek, you find. You knock, it's opened. Jesus goes on, and I love it, to emphasize this truth with an example, an illustration. In verse 9, He says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Isn't that beautiful? You see what he's saying? He asks a couple of questions and he really doesn't want an answer because the answer's obvious. These are rhetorical questions. Jesus is trying to make a point here. He's teaching a crowd, and much like we have here, and maybe he notices some dads, some fathers out there in the audience, and he says, which one of you, if your son asked for a piece of bread, which one of you would give him a rock? Which one of you, if your son asked for a fish, piece of fish to eat, which one of you would plop a serpent on his plate?
Eat up.
The obvious question is none. None of you would, unless you were really sick in the head, Dad. But even sinners, even evil, earthly fathers give good things to their children. How much more a perfect, holy, righteous God? How much more is he willing to give good things to us? He makes that point. Our God is a good Father. He will give us good things. While we're on that topic, parents, let me just challenge you a little bit this morning. As I was reading this, I just felt the Lord really kind of speak to me. Terry, are you really giving your children good things? Parents, let me ask you. Are you really giving your kids good things? Are you giving them the best things? Choice between something that's better or best. Are you giving them the best? Are you giving them good things? And you know, Jesus was very practical here. He talks about food. Parents, are you giving your kids well-balanced diets? Or are you pumping them up through with sugar and they're bouncing off the walls and you're wondering what's wrong with them? Be good. Give them good things. What other good things? I know as parents in America, we can get so busy, can't we? And we can forget what's important and we can forget to spend time with our kids. And maybe some of your kids are screaming for your attention. Dad, spend time with me. Mom, spend time with me. And what do? We put a DVD in the DVD player. Occupy yourself, son. I got things to do. Or do we pump them full of entertainment when they're crying out for our quality time? Read books with your kids. Play board games with them. Spend real time with those kids. Those are good things. Are you giving good things to your kids? And you know, as mom and dads, we have an objective to prepare our kids for making their way in this world, for getting along in this world, preparing for their future, and we send them to school and we send them to activities. But my brother and sister in Christ, parent, Christian parent, don't forget to teach them about the next world coming. For that future, share with them. Take them to church. Get them involved. Give them those good things. I spent about a week there, as I mentioned, with Gospel for Asia. They got so many people there at headquarters that are working and seeding into the ministry. And on Tuesday night, they have a prayer meeting. Everybody shows up. Every single family shows up. And they pray for 2 hours. Kids that are under 6 are allowed to go into the nursery. But if you're 6 years old, you're praying with mommy and daddy. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it was beautiful. Let me tell you, I've never prayed, very seldom do I pray with an 8-year-old who's pouring out his heart for world missions. Global evangelism, praying for the needs of the ministry. Praying for people who are sick. Oh, those kids are being prepared, my friend. Are we doing that with our children? Are we giving them good things? You have a teenager. You're not just giving them everything on a silver plate, I hope. Silver platter. You're teaching them responsibility. Teaching them discipline and diligence. Listen, evaluate, parent, from time to time. Am I giving my kid good things? But Jesus, here in verse 11, he's speaking from lesser to higher. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Man, and that's, I mean, we as evil people do good things for our kids. God says, Jesus says, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good things? Do you believe that about your dad? Brother and sister in Christ, do you believe that about your Father in heaven? You know, he delights to give good things. You know, we talked about how we're to be intense seekers, knockers, askers. Let me tell you this morning, God's an intense giver. He wants to give. He delights to give his people good things. Do you believe that? Or do you see God sort of as a ruthless dictator? Oh God, I come before you and I make this request. Do you come to God and try to make deals with him? Or do you try to earn things from God? Listen, he's your heavenly Father. He wants to give good things. I love that story about the prodigal son. You remember he goes and he gets all his dad's inheritance and he goes out and he squanders it. He wastes it. He finds himself in a pig's pen. Finally, he comes to his senses and he says, I'm going to go back to dad. Even the servants get along better in dad's house. I'll come back and I'll just be a servant. That's his whole focus. So he comes back. His dad sees him coming, runs out to meet him, and he says, Dad, I'm coming back to be your servant. Dad says, none of that. Let's have a party. You've returned. You have everything that I have. That is the heart of your God, my friend. Wanting to give you good things. James chapter 1 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If you are asking, if you are seeking, if you are knocking continuously, passionately, intensely, obeying the command, believing by faith, knowing that your God is a giver, the way I read this passage, yes. The answer is yes. Now some of you might be thinking, all right, I like this Bible study. This is my ticket to success. I figured it out. I'll tell you what, I'm going to just keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking passionately for that winning lottery ticket. That BMW, here it comes. My ship's come in. God really is like Santa Claus. God really is like the genie in the bottle. Listen. There are qualifications on what we ask. There are qualifications on what we ask. And my friend, we have it right here in the text. I want to direct your attention again to verse 11. I'm going to emphasize a word for you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What's the qualification here? God says yes when we ask for good things. Good things. This isn't a free-for-all, folks. We can't expect God to answer yes when you and I ask for a bad thing. We can't expect God to answer yes when we even ask for a neutral thing with bad motivations. What do you ask for? Good things. When you ask for good things, the answer is yes. What are good things? Anything according to the Word of God. Anything according to the will, the good, pleasant will of our Father in heaven as revealed in the Scriptures. Praying for those good things, my friend. I'll tell you what, here's what we need to do with this passage. We need to take these four verses out. And we need to see the context in which they are given in the Scripture. See, listen, if you look at the content of any passage without looking at the context, then all you have is pretext. And it's very important to look at the content. And where do these four verses fit? Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which we have been studying since last November. And what does Jesus teach in the Sermon on the Mount? He teaches about the righteous way of living, how you and I are to live righteously. Those are the good things, my friend. Living a life of righteousness. I'll tell you, man, as we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, it's convicting, isn't it? Boy, the Holy Spirit wallops us. He brings things to attention, and it's so convicting. And you know what? The purpose of the Sermon on the Mount is to let us see ourselves, and we'll say, oh, I need help. And then you run to God, asking Him to help. Yes, yes, that's it. That's the knocking. That's the asking. That's the seeking. I read this sermon. I know I need your help. Oh, God, give me a life of righteousness. I crave it. I long for it. Those are the good things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. There's your yes answer. Let's pray for those good things. Just take a moment and remember a little bit about what the Lord has taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. Look back at chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus says to us as His people, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, there's influence. That's what you and I are supposed to be on this planet. Salt. Adding flavor to people's lives. Making people thirsty for Christ. Light. We're exposing darkness. We're leading people in the way of righteousness. My friend, that's what God wants for you. If you ask for that, if you seek for that, if you're knocking for that, yes. Yes. It's a good thing. If you want to be used by your Lord to change other people's lives forever, you begin asking that He give you a hunger and a passion for the lost people in your life. You begin seeking out opportunities, and you begin knocking on the doors to share Christ with your friends. The answer is yes. Yes. You will see people come to Christ in your life if you're praying like that. I promise you. Having that type of a passion. I've been praying lately for myself and our church that we would really have a passion for lost people. And you know what? We've seen such wonderful things at the fellowship here. We're seeing people get saved all the time. It's wonderful. But you know what? There's another step that we need to take. There's a big world out there. There's a globe out there. And we need to start getting involved. I'm telling you, my week with Gospel for Asia was eye-opening. There's a group of people who are just massively mobilized to reach the world for Christ. That's their passion. We'll stop at nothing less. We'll reach the world for Jesus Christ. And I see it happening, and it just, oh man, let's go. Remember, as we continue reading in Matthew chapter 5, as we continued studying, Jesus speaks about the righteous way of living that we need to live. And that righteousness isn't just outward acts of righteousness, but it's also inward. And you and I as Christians, we need to watch our insides and our outsides, and we need to be growing and walking in holiness. My friend, if you ask and seek and knock for a holy life, for a righteous way of living, do you think God's going to go, I got to think about that one? No, the answer is yes. I'll change your life. You have a besetting sin that's giving you problems. It's bringing you down. Oh, ask, seek, knock. The Lord will help you. That's a yes answer.
I love the story about a minister who, he wanted to reach out to the impoverished area of his community, so he set up a soup kitchen right there in the midst. And they handed out flyers, and they said, everyone who comes to the soup kitchen, if you want soup, bring a vessel, bring a cup, some kind of a bowl or whatever that holds about 2 quarts worth of soup. And we'll make sure that you get 2 quarts worth of soup. Well, one 11-year-old boy totally ignored that. He brought a bucket that holds 3 gallons. And he brought that up. And if you put 2 quarts in that big bucket, it looks like a drop in the bucket. So they didn't do that. And that boy went away with 3 gallons of soup. And I wonder what kind of vessel we bring to God. What kind of vessel do you and I bring to God? Do we bring 2 quarts worth, or do we bring the buckets? God, fill us. Help us to live a righteous life. The Heavenly Father says to us as His children, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Are you coming? Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? And then remember, as we continued into Matthew chapter 6, Jesus spoke about acts of piety, worship, acts of service that we should be involved in as Christians. How to pray correctly. How to give to charity. You remember? How to fast. How to give things up for the Lord. That speaks of our service to the Lord. Where we fit in the body of Christ. What we do for the Lord. Are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? Where do I fit, Lord? Where can I serve you? Where can I serve your people? How can I get involved? God will answer yes. Your life will explode with spiritual meaning. These are yes answers, man. As we went into Matthew chapter 6, remember it got very controversial. Jesus started talking about our relationship to wealth, money, materialism. And if you look down there at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's very convicting for us. Many of us as Americans are caught up in wealth and materialism. Listen, and you may have been hit by the Holy Spirit when we studied that in detail, and you thought, boy, how do I change? How can I get my priorities realigned? How can I get things in order? Ask, seek, knock. God, give me a heart that's more oriented towards heaven. You think God will say, I don't know about that one? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. The answer is yes.
Remember, Jesus also said, don't worry about your life in verse 25, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Again, that goes to the other end of the spectrum. Some of us worry too much about what we're going to eat or drink or how to make ends meet. How would you deal with that problem in your life? Ask, seek, knock passionately. Ask Him to help you, dig you out, get you to a place where you can be serving the Lord effectively with your finances or whatever. These are yes answers.
Then last week we talked about judging. Verse 1 of chapter 7, Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Clearly, as Christians, we're not to judge like
the Pharisees did. From a place of spiritual arrogance and looking down our noses at people. We're to be very careful in the way we judge. But there are times that we are to judge, that we are to exercise discernment. Maybe there's a situation in your life where you're supposed to talk to somebody and you're not sure how to do it. Ask, seek, knock. God will give you wisdom. Jesus said, before you judge someone else, take the plank out of your own eye. Ask God, reveal the planks in my life. See if there be any wicked way in me, as David prayed. Clean me up, that I might help others.
My brother and sister in Christ, let me tell you, those are all good things. These are all good things that God wants for you. Ask for them. Knock. Seek. If you want yes answers from God, then pray for good things. Remember I mentioned James chapter 4 where it says, you do not have because you do not ask. He goes on to say, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
See, here's the deal, guys. Christian prayer is not about getting a whole bunch of stuff from God. Christian prayer is all about finding the will of God, the heart of God, seeking after what He wants, praying for the good things that He wants. Christian prayer is not getting your will accomplished in heaven. Christian prayer is getting His will accomplished on earth. If you pray for good things, if you pray for the walk of righteousness and all that the Lord has spoken about, and if you do so persistently, consistently, intensely, with faith, cooperating with God, yes, yes, yes.
You know, go back to my kids for a little bit as we close. If my kids always asked for good things, I would always say yes. How about you, parents?
If your kids were always asking for good things, wouldn't you say yes? If Connor were to come up to me one day and say, Daddy, I want green beans. Man, get me the Sam size, you know? Let's stop it. Let's get him green beans right now. If Dylan were to come up to me and say, no cartoon today, Daddy. I want to hear Bible story. Will you read Bible story? Oh, man. Hold the press. We're studying the Bible, buddy. If Lindsay were to come up to me and say, Daddy, teach me how to make my bed so I can do it for the rest of my life. Oh, man, I'm stopping everything. Yes, those are good things. Yes. And listen very carefully to me. If my kids ask for good things more, I'd be delighted to throw in all the trips to Babo's. In fact, I'd be more prone to. How about some blessings? How about some candy? That is where we must get with our Heavenly Father, my friend. Where we're asking for good things. We're asking for good things as He defines good things. And He throws in all the blessings. But it's not about you. Ask, seek, knock. It's all waiting. It's all waiting there. Let's close this off. Let's bow our heads and let's commit this to the Lord. Father, I thank You that Your heart is to give us good things. You'll hold nothing back, Lord. We have not because we ask not. or maybe we ask amiss. And Father, I pray that you would purify all our motives here this morning as your children. Give us hearts for righteousness, seeking good things as you define good things. Lord, help us. And then, Lord, I thank you also that there are a couple of prayers that we can offer that you will always say yes to. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to know that if you want to be saved and forgiven of your sins, if you want to come into a relationship with God, and you sincerely want to become a born-again Christian, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, yes. The answer is yes. Jeremiah chapter 29 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." If you're searching for God, if you're searching for answers, if you're searching for truth, God will allow you to find Him. And you need to understand that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to be our Savior and to rise again that third day. And if you ask Him to be your Savior, if you admit to Him that you're a sinner, that you need Him, if you invite Him to come into your heart, you'll be forgiven forever. Yes. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian who has fallen astray. You got off the track somehow. Something just took you out.